Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by Fine Gael Senator, Shannon spokesperson on justice, and barrister Barry Ward, Labour TD for Dublin Bay North and spokesperson on education and justice Éan Arirdhon, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner Ciara Phelan, and campaign coordinator for Focus Ireland and spokesperson for the single parents group Spark, Louise Bayliss. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for coming in today. So let's start with what we were talking about earlier in the programme with Brendan O'Connor from the Garda Representative Association. This is what's happening with the Gardaí coming down the line. And Barry, Fine Gael has control of the justice portfolio and has had for some time. How do you think Garda morale has become so low?
Well, I think it has always been difficult to be a Garda. I think they put themselves in the kind of positions that everybody else wants to avoid. And I see that in my own professional life. We're immensely proud of the work they do, but it's very, very difficult. And it hasn't gotten easier in recent times, which is why there's been so much investment in an Garda Síochána with more guards, more powers for Gardaí, more equipment for Gardaí, more civilians to support the Gardaí in their role. But there's still a journey to be travelled. And I know Helen McEntee is committed to doing that. And I hope we will see further
investment. A
journey
to be travelled is putting it mildly. Overtime for five Tuesdays in October, but everyone out in November.
That's not an issue. That's an issue that is part of a quasi-industrial relations issue. That's not something that the government has created. The morale question of the guards, I think, is something that has been going on for a long time. With an increased population, there's more pressure on them. But we have invested in them. And in fact, this government has invested more in a Garda Síochána than any, I think, in the history of the state, which is why this time last year, Helen McEntee secured so much money in the budget to increase Garda recruitment, to increase civilianisation of the Garda, to support them. And that, I hope, will happen again this year. But it's something that we're very much committed to.
Éan, the GRA's ire seems to be very firmly pointed in the direction of the Commissioner. That was very clear from what Brendan O'Connor said on this programme this morning. Should they be looking more in the direction of the Minister and the Government?
Well, I think we should all be looking for solutions. I wasn't mad about the idea of having such a personalised ballot, you know, naming somebody in the ballot. And Gardaí, I've spoken to, said that they voted no confidence in the Garda Commissioner, but it was the only avenue they had to, you know, to speak to their discomfort or disquiet about the rostering situation. So I don't think we need a new Garda Commissioner, because this is the third one we've had in a short period of time, and that level of sort of chopping and changing doesn't, you know, make people feel comfortable.
I don't know what you
confident.
Do, though, because the GRA is saying the relationship with him is irreparable.
I think what you can do, I mean, Barry gave a list of great things the government have done, but as if they're bystanders now. And what I had to do yesterday was to write to the policing authority, because the minister's not doing it. And in the Labour Party, we're trying to find solutions so we don't come to a situation where we're unpoliced in Halloween.
What did you ask the policing authority to do?
To intervene, because the policing authority have a role in overseeing the annual policing plan. Obviously, within that comes Garda rostering. They have a point of view. They can investigate how effective our policing service is, and they can come to a conclusion and they can give recommendations. I wrote to the policing authority to do this. The minister should have done that heretofore. She hasn't.
And do you know that she hasn't?
Well, I mean, there's no evidence that she has. Right. And it feels as if the minister is a bystander in this. And we're facing, I mean, a full-blown crisis. We also have the criminal barristers out on strike on Tuesday, which means that the court system is coming to a halt next Tuesday, and that could become a rolling situation of unrest within the legal system if that's not resolved. So between the Garda's situation, which is industrial action facing us, and the huge amount of unrest, the morale is on the floor. Every policing meeting I go to, the body language from Gardaí is that of a force that doesn't feel they're being respected. And those who are in the Gardaí maybe 15, 20 years are saying that they wouldn't join it now. So I think there is a political responsibility here, at least to accept that there's a problem, and then we can start dealing with it. But not accepting that we have a problem, I think, is part of the problem.
Is this going to become, Ciara, a political issue now?
I think it's definitely going to intensify over the next couple of weeks. I was surprised that the story didn't stick as much politically over the last couple of weeks, in terms of what the GRA, you know, the breakdown in talks in terms of the roster. But now that they've actually asked the government and the minister to intervene on this, because it seems like there is no give on either side and something has to give, considering that there's concerns now over the policing on the five Tuesdays and then the threat of withdrawal essentially on November 10th. The government doesn't want to see this, but it's a very difficult point for the Justice Minister, because if she goes to the Garda Commissioner and says you have to move, is the Garda Commissioner going to come out and say I can't do my job anymore because I've been asked by the Minister to make changes and there's no confidence in me to continue to do the job? She has come out, Minister McEntee has come out and said, you know, that there's no crisis and that she feels safe as well on the streets, and that was following a number of high profile attacks, and that has landed well within Fine Gael, actually, some backbench TDs, some ministers, and also within Fianna Fáil, the cabinet as a whole, really, to be honest, not as a whole, but a few members of cabinet are really surprised by those comments at the Fine Gael thinking in Limerick. Only 2 weeks ago, a lot of the backbenchers were out canvassing, and it's an issue that came up on the doors. And that hasn't actually, the issue of Gardaí and policing in communities hasn't been to the forefront over the last couple of years. And yes, Barry, you've spoken about your investment in the Gardaí, but also the recruits aren't, the targets aren't being met, and more essentially needs to be done here now, considering that it is an issue for backbench TDs who are hearing it from their constituencies and are concerned about the level of policing, especially as well. We've seen obviously the protests outside of Dáil, and it's expected to happen again on Budget Day.
Well, that's the thing. And do you think, Louise, people will be worried now? We've got Halloween and we've got Budget Day, and there's no, we can't tell what's going to happen on either of those days, but they're very challenging policing days.
They're absolutely very challenging policing days, and I think we all were horrified to see the protests outside the Dáil at the reopening of the Dáil, and that was very scary to see the actual mob rule that was there. And thankfully the guards did do a good job of protecting Michael Healy Ray and other people who were, you know, at risk at that situation. I think people are going to be very nervous. I would see myself, I would be regularly protesting against the housing crisis and different things. I would be nervous going in to the Dáil to stand outside a protest at the moment because of that violence is there. And if I thought the guards aren't going to be there to kind of keep civil society at bay or to keep civil law in rule, I would be nervous about going in. And I think I would be on the left, obviously, but I would be a centrist on the left. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to be an extreme person. And my fear would be people like me would be driven out of going to protests, reasonable people who have genuine reason to complain, and that you only end up with extreme people protesting. And that's a real fear, that people will be afraid to, you know, exercise the democratic right to protest.
So what's going to happen, Barry? What should the minister do now? It's extraordinary to hear Éan Ruadán saying that a Labour politician has had to write to the policing authority asking them to help, and the minister hasn't done
but
that.
I don't know that Éan fully understands, but he says the government is there as a bystander. There is a limited extent to which the government should get involved in policing management. It is something that should be removed from politics. Now, that's
you wrote to the Garda Commissioner last week.
I did, yeah, about a policing issue, not about policing management.
You're contradicting yourself.
But I'm not in the executive, Éan. I'm not the minister. I'm a public representative. I'm the public representative, and I wrote because people contacted me about it, and it was an issue
so
that I wanted to bring.
So the minister could contact the policing authority.
Sorry, of course the minister can do that, but
so
what I'm saying is you said the minister is there like a bystander. Hang on a second now. You said she's there like a bystander as if she should be knee-deep in this kind of thing. She shouldn't. There's a large extent to which the minister, because exactly as Ciara said, the extent to which she gets involved can really impact her ability to do anything. And actually, it would be quite irresponsible for her to be wading into an industrial relations dispute between the commissioner and rank and file.
She
shouldn't be doing that.
But
what I would say to people, and this is really important, particularly in the context of what Louise said, is people should not be afraid that there will not be guards there. What they have cancelled is voluntary overtime. Now, yes, that'll have an impact on operational, but I expect the Garda Commissioner and Garda Management, right down to the inspectors and the sergeants and the stations around Dublin, to make sure they have the resources available to do whatever policing they need to do, whether that means moving around manpower or whatever. I still have confidence that the Garda will be able to react to situations that arise, and nobody should feel that they can't go into Leinster House
Claire,
to make their voice heard.
This is exactly what the problem is, because it's as if hearing from Fine Gael that everything is actually fine.
No, sorry.
I mean, morale is...
I didn't say that at all. No, hang on a second. You misquoted me.
No, hold on. Everything is actually fine. We're investing in the guards. You know, it's as if somebody else has to sort this out. It's nothing to do with us.
No,
that's exactly what I'm hearing.
Okay, well, that's because you're not listening.
No, I'm listening very
carefully. Fine Gael has invested more in the Gardaí because we recognise there was a problem coming down the road. We are talking every day about stronger, safer communities and reinforcing that with actions, with resources for
the community Gardaí are being whipped from communities.
With powers for the Gardaí.
Yes, they are.
No, they aren't.
Absolutely,
no government has invested
as
much. I'll happily address what you're saying if you'll stop talking over me. You have to be able to invest in an Gardaí Síochána and give them the powers and the resources they need. That's why last year we put money in the budget for 1,000 extra Gardaí. We put money in the budget for 400 extra civilians to keep Gardaí out of Garda stations and on the street.
What can I
we
ask
have
you
invested
question?
In legislation for body cams for Gardaí, yeah, for more powers for Gardaí,
well.
For stronger sentencing powers in respect of assaults and things like that. They are all being actioned. But what you seem to think is that we can solve this overnight. It's a huge problem.
No,
and
I
nobody
want you to
is saying
do,
that it isn't
I want
a problem.
You to do anything in relation to this dispute. I mean, why does it take me to write to the Garda Authority?
Sorry,
to the policing authority? Okay. Why hasn't the minister?
And I'd be very interested to see what the outcome of your letter to the policing authority would be. The point that you said
is... Well, what do you think the policing authority is going to say to Aon?
It's not for me to say. I'm not an expert on the industrial relations of guards, and I don't even pretend, having spoken to lots of guards about this, I don't...
But are you saying that his letter is pointless because they can't do anything either?
No, I'm not. But I think the grandstanding by Aon suggesting that he has somehow to step in because the minister isn't doing it is an absolute nonsense.
What is the minister doing? You think that's grandstanding?
The point is, Aon, and this is where I think you totally understand the role, misunderstand the role of the minister. The role of the minister is not to be telling you what she's doing, not to be out in the media creating other problems. Her job is behind the scenes, and when the time comes to make whatever steps
she needs
to take.
This minister is well able to do photocalls on Talbot Street when she feels like it.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I am talking about...
This is an industrial relations dispute between rank and file Gardaí who are unhappy with the change that's been proposed by the commissioner and the Garda management.
And there are mechanisms.
And you seem to think...
There are mechanisms.
You seem to think
there are
the
mechanisms.
Minister should be rolling up her sleeves and getting stuck
there
into
are,
that.
There
Sorry,
are mechanisms.
Kira,
go ahead.
Then? So November 10th comes and there's been no resolution. We've had the loss of overtime. November 10th comes. At what point does the minister intervene if there's no pull on either side? He can't say that there's no responsibility of the government here.
Again,
or a role
I didn't
for,
say that.
But I think what you're saying is
involved working behind the
scenes.
No, I did not say the government has no responsibility. What I said is there's an extent to which the minister should be keeping politics out of Gardaí Síochána.
So when does she get involved?
So in the same way, but that's depends on how the situation evolves. And I'm not saying there is never a point where she should get involved, but you should, the first port of call in any dispute within Gardaí Síochána should not be for the political head of the Justice Department to be getting in or making pronouncements or getting into the media making statements one way or the other. That's not going to help. And we already have a situation where the GRA has had this no confidence vote, which I think was an unhelpful thing to do. I don't think it necessarily helps the situation at all. It doesn't help them to resolve the situation. And Aon said at the outset that he wants solutions. Well, that's what the minister wants. But the way to get a solution, and we've seen this in any number of areas where government has resolved situations, the answer is not to get out there and thump the table and put down ultimata and tell people if they don't do X, Y, or Z,
there are mechanisms within the apparatus of the state, including the policing authority, who could be brought in at this stage to have a view.
And
she hasn't encouraged them, asked them,
well,
or directed them
you
to
don't
do
know that.
That.
You don't know that, Aon.
Well,
and I don't know.
You don't know that. And you're the Justice Spokesperson for Finnegan. You're the Justice Spokesperson for Finnegan. You don't know she has or hasn't.
And I am not a minister. I am not sitting at the cabinet table. And the minister does not come to me and tell me what she's going to do before she does it.
But your expectation is that she is working on this behind
scenes. I know that Helen McEntee is incredibly concerned about that and is working to get a resolution. Do what she's specifically doing, she doesn't tell me about, nor should she.
But do you think,
and she shouldn't tell you either, Aon.
But Barry, do you think she should let the public know that I am actually working really hard on it? I think Aon's point is very fair, that he felt he had to step in. Now, if she has written to the policing authority, or she did give us that bit of advice, I am working backstage, I can't explain it, but to reassure the guards, I am looking for resolution, that would be helpful.
Well, I don't think anybody should be in any doubt about the level of concern with Helen McEntee. She has consistently shown that
she's done some great things around domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I will acknowledge that, but I think in this situation, some political leadership is needed, and I think it would be a good thing for her to just say, you know, I can't tell you what I'm doing, but I am going to try to resolve this. Rest assured, you know, just some message to the guards and to the public.
Well, that's what Barry's doing today.
I think when you talk about political leadership, there's an extent to which politics should not be in a policing industrial relations dispute. There may well come a time, Kira, when you know, the government has to step in. I don't know what that'll be. But the notion that the first port of call is for the minister to be making press statements and, you know, coming out and calling, coming down on one side or the other, Aon, I actually think...
The Rostrum dispute is not news. It's not if
it's not news, but nor is it politics.
It's been bubbling up for
months. Nor is it politics.
If it gets to the stage when the government has to intervene, what happens to Drew Harris at that point? if the government has to come in and say this is how you run your...
That intervention is. I think what is important for people to remember is, notwithstanding the GRA vote is that the Garda Commissioner's position does not depend on his popularity within the rank and file. And it, nor can it, nor should it. You don't want a commissioner who's constantly trying to curry favour with Gardaí. His job is to manage the guards, to do so in a way that is effective, that is in accordance with policing plans and the norms that we expect of a Garda Commissioner. I don't know what Garda Commissioner was popular.
It shouldn't be a popularity contest. But if they won't work for him, you know, if they decide in November they're not going to go and work for the Garda Commissioner, that's a problem.
Well, it is a problem, but actually the reality is that the Gardaí and the Defence Forces occupy a particular position in society, and for that reason they cannot decide not to work for him. They don't have the option to strike. This is not a strike.
I suppose my point is that if the government or the minister has to intervene, that then becomes hugely damaging to Drew Harris, does it not?
It depends on what that intervention is, and I certainly don't want to prejudge anything like that, but I do think that two things. Nobody should be in doubt about how active Helen McEntee is in terms of being aware of this and doing what she needs to do.
Okay, but Aon, can I put that question to you? Like, you're calling on government to become more involved here, but what does
I'm calling on the policing authority that the minister could lean on and to become involved. Because, like,
but do you see the message that sends out about Drew Harris not being able to run?
I thought Brendan O'Connor's contribution today, I felt that there was an opportunity there. I felt Drew Harris's comments during the week about he's willing to compromise. I thought there was a potential there. It needs some level of an outside body to have some kind of an international comparison as to how rosters are done elsewhere or what the overall policing plan is and how this fits into it. But there's a wider problem here, though. I mean, you cannot sort of abdicate sort of political responsibility of how we've got to this point. And again, it's not just the Garda situation. We also have the courts coming to a halt on Tuesday. We have the prison service, which is completely and utterly overcrowded, which has been spoken about time and time again by prison governors. Fine Gael have been in charge of the Justice Department, unbroken for 12 years, and this is what we've come to. Right. And this is apparently the law and order part.
You mentioned barristers now twice, and I do want to talk to Barry Ward about that. You are a barrister. You and your colleagues taking industrial action next week. Fine Gael's Shannon spokesperson on justice taking action against a government in action, as you see it. Is there not a conflict there?
It's not a conflict. First of all, I am a criminal barrister. I do receive criminal legal aid in respect of work I do in the courts. But it's not about me. It's actually about junior barristers in particular. We have a situation where criminal barristers are at 2002 rates of pay. The pay was cut along with other sectors at the time of the financial emergency.
We had Sean Gearan here and he explained really well during the week. Mm. And I spoke to the Minister for Justice on this programme about it. She seemed to say that you have a case, that you agree. So what does Pascal Donoghue have against you?
Well, I don't think Pascal has anything against us. But
he's the one who's stopping the reversal of FMP.
I think DPR needs to take action to unwind these cuts. And that's all criminal barristers are asking for. They're not asking for extra money. They're just asking me to put back where they were to have those cuts unwound. And it is important because it is definitely discouraging young barristers from getting into criminal law. And that will have an impact on, 10 years down the road. But what's most important, Claire, is that actually the taxpayer gets incredibly good value from criminal defence barristers in Ireland because they don't have to pay to employ them. So all the rights and costs that come with employment from holiday pay and maternity cover and all the rest, they don't have to bear that. But they equally have a stock of highly professional people who are providing the service for less than the cost of any other common law jurisdiction in Europe.
Yeah, does anybody else think this is a weird situation that the Fine Gael justice spokesperson is protesting against government policy?
Taking the personalities out of for a second, this effective strike was announced on the 12th of July. I'd be interested to know what the government has done from the 12th of July to here to halt this or to begin some kind of a process. There was a case in May that couldn't proceed because of lack of a senior counsel. It was a sexual assault case. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about giving junior barristers more money. We're talking about the effect of running of the legal system. Now, two-thirds of barristers after 6 years leave the profession.
So you agree with Barry's position
I agree with the Bar Council's position in terms of where they're at.
But
having said, Barry has more influence on the purse strings than I have. And the point here is that we can't have a situation where the entire criminal justice system on Tuesday is going to halt And we don't know where it's going to happen after, because I met the Bar Council last week. They had a presentation during the week in Leinster House again. I asked them what happens next if their demands aren't met, and they don't know. So once they do, it's an unprecedented action. Once they do this once, they're going to have to do it again. On top of the Garda thing and on top of the prison thing, there's a huge sense of uncertainty as to where we're going with law and order.
Ciara, I want to talk about the budget now. I think we're less than 2 weeks, aren't we, out from budget day on the 10th? Now, we're getting that noise, which you would expect at this time. Oh, it's going to be tight. Mm. It's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
So we're managing expectations. Is that where we're at this week?
I think that's what we've seen from the two money ministers, Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath, the last 2 weeks. You know, there was a good few kites flown previous to their managing expectation message that came last week. There's expectation that obviously there's going to be a number of lump sum payments. They haven't shied away from saying that. They're saying that it's not going to be as the level it was last year. There's, you know, it's likely that we're going to see cuts to USC. I think both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are really calling for that. But it's been overshadowed this week by the overspending at the Department of Health, €1.1 billion, if not more. And essentially, the coalition leaders met on Monday night. They had a presentation from Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath. And I understand at that meeting, it was told that money is going to be tight for other departments to spend. And the money is so tight that it'll just be able to give them enough, essentially, to stand still. Now, we always see this time of the year, like you mentioned, that what's the phrase you use, under promise, over delivery, you know, that, you know, they can get a big bounce and say, look, it was so tight, this is what could have happened. But definitely soundings from within government is it won't be as big the package on tax measures as last year.
Okay, and Louise, the one-off measures that we're hearing about, that's the reaction we get from some, and we had this last year when it happened as well, is that it's a bit of a sleight of hand from the government. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't agree with the big lump sum payments to different you know, to the general public. I think, you know, there are people who are really suffering in this cost of living crisis, and we need targeted supports, and that did not happen last year. For instance, if we look at children, the poorest children are on social welfare dependent families, and the QCI, the qualified child increase, went up by €2 a week, which is €104 a year. Yet if you look at the general give up for children, there was 240 available a year for the child benefit. Now, surely we should have been targeting, instead of giving 104 to the poorest children. Now, I get they got the 240 as well, but it should have been reversed. The targeted support should have been higher for those who are most in need, and the more general support should have been reduced. And we saw the impact of that. We saw families who were genuinely suffering, children having to drop out of school at 17 and 18 because they lost child benefit at age 18, and the €2 for 50 to raise a child, an 18-year-old child, you cannot do it.
But to be very cynical about that, I remember looking at the polls in January once those payments started to filter through after Budget 2023, and you're nodding there, Ciara, as well. They were very good for government parties.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Some of the budgetary moves were not evidence-based. They were political-based. Mm-hmm. And that's really bad. And I see you're nodding your head there, Barry, but the evidence is there. We gave evidence in why we needed targeted support for certain groups. That did not happen. It was done general thing. And we even had people, you know, on phoning into Radio Line saying, I did not need a double child benefit. I feel upset thinking that there are families here with no electricity on the house and I'm getting a double child benefit. So I'm just hoping this year there's been very clear evidence given to the government. You know, we've all given in our budget pre-budget submissions. We used the minimum essential standard of living results that the Vincentian Partnership do every year, which shows what a family or what a person needs to actually survive. And just to stay standing, we need an increase in the primary social welfare payment of €27.50 a week, €5 for the qualified child increase and €10 for children over 12. Will that happen? If it doesn't, people will suffer. The poorest in the state will suffer.
It's very unlikely that that's going to
happen. I'm aware, Claire.
Do you agree?
I agree, but that's only to keep people standing. And we already know, there's almost 70% of people suffer two or more forms of deprivation. We know 43.5% of lone parents experience deprivation, whether they're working or not.
Now, the government has said, and Leo Varadkar has said, that he is willing to consider that idea around giving 40,000 people who are on family income supplement, additional child benefits, that would lift, we were told in that ESRI published report, that would lift 40,000 children out of poverty.
Yeah, no, that's slightly different. The family income support, it is now called the working family payment. And there were a few different versions put in through the ESRI. One was to increase the working family payment, which would lift certain families out. But the ESRI at the day, because I was at that launch, and they were very clear about that, that was a heavy way to do it, because you weren't getting to the people, the poorest children, because you were only getting to families who were working 19 plus hours a week, and the poorest children were being excluded from that. So what the ESRI recommended was a second payment of child benefit. So regardless of whether you were working or not, but if your income reached a certain threshold mm-hmm. or was below a certain threshold, you would get it. And that's what would lift the 40,000
okay,
children
but that's
out.
Not going to happen in this budget.
No.
We've been told that, but it is
being considered
by the government.
Yeah.
So Barry, what do you say political choices are being made rather than the choices that should be made based in fact?
I don't actually think there's a basis for that. Just because the government, and the reality is the formation of any budget means the balancing of requests from every sector and the necessity to provide for people. And I accept entirely that there is a need to put money back in people's pockets and particularly to support those who are suffering from the cost of living. That is there. And in fact, that was one of the hallmarks of the last budget. I don't think it's fair to suggest that because a particular demand wasn't satisfied, that therefore is a political budget. And actually, when you look at Pascal Donoghue, I think of all the finance ministers we've had, he has not politicised the budget process. And he has put in place a budget that he thinks is the best budget for the country and for all the people within the country. This budget, and I have every confidence Pascal will achieve it and Michael McGrath will achieve it again this time, has to be a balance between, on the one hand, dealing with the national debt, and on the other hand, you have to deal with the fact that there are people who are suffering from the cost of living. And
Barry,
and
can I just ask you, do you think a 2 euro qualified child increase was the right way to go over giving people who didn't need child benefit 240
no,
a year?
No, but you see, the thing is, I am not the person who has to make those decisions, and every budget is a difficult decision.
But you're justifying
decision.
It.
And the reality
but you're justifying
is, the reality
it, and it wasn't a justifiable
I am justifying
decision.
It because it is justifiable.
How
because
is it justifiable the,
because,
to give people, general population, 240 and the poorest children
because 104? The point I'm making is, right, that every budget is a balancing act, and you can never satisfy all the things you would like to do in a budget. That isn't possible. And in this budget, in the context of the budget surplus, we will never satisfy the expectations people have in relation to this budget either. But I do believe that Pascal will achieve the balance between providing for the economy and providing for investment in the economy and putting money back in people's pockets, and also providing for the least well off. And you need to do both. You cannot do one to the exclusion of the other. And of course, there will be things in the budget that you're unhappy with. There will be things in the budget that I am unhappy with. That is the nature of budgets. Even Pascal Donoghue will be unhappy with things he has to do in this budget. But people should understand that the best is being done for everybody in the country, not one sector or the other, and to provide for people who need to be provided for, including those who are working and suffering and struggling to pay.
But Claire, Barry talks about those who are less well off. That's not where the energy is in the Dáil Chamber. It's not where the energy is in the Oireachtas. I mean, we find ourselves in the Labour Party in between the government talking about... I mean, Leo Varadkar announced his great passion when he became Taoiseach was child poverty. He hasn't spoken about it in any amount and same number of times he talks about tax cuts and that's his agenda. And that's fine. He's a centre-right politician. He's entitled to that. But we find ourselves, Sinn Féin on one hand are obsessed with mortgage interest relief, which would cost something like 600 million, which would affect probably the better off in society. On the other hand, we have the government parties talking about tax cuts, USC and all the rest of it. And in terms of child poverty or the less well off, there is no energy around that conversation. And that's why what Louise's presentation is so powerful and so needed to be heard by government, because we are now in between two blocks who are in a tax-cutting agenda. Meanwhile, the services that these taxes pay for are actually used and needed most by those less well off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I talk about fuel prices just to finish? Because we started the programme talking about the cost of petrol and diesel heading towards 2 euro, Ciara, which is a real pickle now for the government, because even if they decide not to go ahead with the excise duty increase, there's not a huge amount they can do on the other side of fuel price or the wholesale price that's coming through.
Yeah.
Although excise rates in this country, as we heard this morning, are amongst the highest in Europe.
In Europe, yeah. And I thought it was interesting listening to the conversation this morning, and the Taoiseach actually said at the Fine Gael, thinking again that, you know, government were forced to make a move here because they saw that the price of diesel was going towards 2 euro. Okay, grand, they might not put in the final increase restoration of the excise cut, but it could still hit €2.
Could still hit, yeah.
So what are they going to do? And I think that's definitely going to be examined in the next 2 weeks in terms of budget negotiations, because Taoiseach has essentially came out now and said we had to move when it hit €2, so they can't not do it again, essentially, you know.
But to do anything else, Barry, you'd have to look at reversing the last restoration of excise, wouldn't you? Because you can't touch carbon tax.
I hope we won't touch carbon tax, and I'm not sure how much carbon tax contributes anyway to the actual cost of a litre of fuel. I know Pascal Donohue and Michael McGrath will be acutely conscious of the impact on cost of living, and I heard the conversation earlier in terms of other proposals. I hope we can look at other proposals, but there is a reality, certainly to the, you know, fuel prices fluctuate, particularly as we come into winter anyway. I think we need to look at where that price is being driven from. I don't know if it's possible, for example, as you say, to undo the other one. I don't think it is. And obviously they're going to have to make a difficult decision now as to whether to not impose the
they probably won't, though. It's looking like they've
more or less.
I think it needs to be suspended. Okay. Yeah.
All right, we leave it there. Thank you all for coming in today.